Hi, this is Joe Roberts with OneWineDude.com, and you're listening to One Wine Dude Radio. Today I'm talking with Alan York, who's an international biodynamic viticulture and farming consultant. Probably his most famous client is Sting, and he talks a bit about the work he does at Sting's Vineyard in Tuscany. He also has a lot to say about biodynamics in general, and he kind of wonders what all the fuss is about with the detractors of biodynamics, particularly with Stu Smith's blog, Biodynamics is a Hoax. Let's have a listen.
Joe.
Alan.
How are you?
Good. How are you, man? Happy New Year.
Good. I completely forgot you were calling.
Is it, do you still have some time to talk?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, great. Hey, well, thanks for taking a little bit of time anyway. I mean, I know it's hectic for you and early, so thank you for that.
Well, the early part's not so bad. It's the hectic part.
You're off. So you said you're off to Europe for several weeks.
Well, I'm going to. I'll be in Europe 10 days, in South Africa 6 weeks, and South America 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. So
yeah, big trip.
Yeah, you're jet setting all over the place. Is it all consulting work or?
Yeah. Most of the time in South Africa is vacation. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Africa in a while, but man.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I've been to South Africa just for an evening, actually, a layover to Kenya. So I was all over Kenya and loved it. I mean, I would go back in a heartbeat.
It's an amazing place.
Yeah, it's my wife and I had our young daughter near Disney for Christmas, and she said, you know, I've never been to Animal Kingdom. I said, well, you were in the real Animal Kingdom, you know. You don't need to go there.
Exactly.
Now, for our reader, you know, for the one-winded readers, are probably not. Some of them probably aren't familiar with your name or what you do. So, would you mind doing like a quick introduction of yourself and what you're all about?
I'm a international biodynamic wine growing consultant, working on 4 different continents right now. So North America, mainly California and Oregon, South America in Chile and Argentina, Europe in Tuscany, and South Africa in the Cape Town region.
And I guess Tuscany is probably your highest profile gig, right? Because you're working there with Sting's Il Palagio.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I mean, you could say that he's my most famous client.
Right.
Yeah.
What's it like working with him? I have to ask. I'm a bass player, so I've got to ask.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as you can easily imagine, you know, Sting is not involved in day-to-day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they Sting and Trudy bought the estate about 15 years ago. And it was, you know, it was more of a lifestyle choice than it was that they bought the place because it was the most suitable place for wine growing. So it's not, you know, it's not the best area in Tuscany. It's in a sub appellation of Chianti called Colle di Florenza, mm-hmm. which means the hills of Florence. It's about halfway between Florence and Siena, on, you know, rolling hills like Tuscany is on. What they call swelling and cracking clays. So it's, you know, it has its challenges compared to the New World, primarily because, you know, the growing season is humid there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas all my clients in the New World, you know, the rain for the most part comes in the winter time, with the exception of Argentina, which is at very high elevations, a short rainy season in around for racing. So it's quite different than everywhere else that I work.
I think it was Sting's wife Trudy said, I think it was in a Food and Wine article, she said, oh, biodynamics is the way to go, right? If with your clients, do you find that they're coming to you to say, look, we've already made this decision, we want to go biodynamic, we want you to convert or consult, or have you had to sell clients on the concepts behind it? And
no, I kind of take the former of what you said is the case with myself. I mean, people have already made decisions, you know, that's what they want to do. So I don't ever find myself in the situation of trying to convince people to do something that, you know, either they don't particularly want to do or don't really know about. Because, you know, I kind of take the opposite approach in the sense that let me rephrase that. I've never found it productive to try and convince anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. Because at some point, you know, everybody wakes up and realizes, hey, why am I doing this, you know? And so for me, it's really important that they resolve all that stuff before I ever even get there, because that's not a role that I play.
And it's probably not a cheap alternative for them either, right?
Well, no. I mean, you know, contrary to what anyone may say, farming biodynamically is not inexpensive. On the contrary, it can be quite expensive depending on the property that you're on. So, you know, it's not a good idea to try and talk people into doing things because everybody, especially in the transition period, it's difficult, you know, and I would say in honesty with most people, if they didn't, you know, if they really knew what they were getting involved in, and I would, you know, quite a number of people wouldn't go down that road. That they, you know, they come at it from a different place than the practicality of what's involved. And so, you know, in the transition, you want to make sure that they're completely committed to what they're doing, because when you have problems, notice I didn't say if.
Right.
I said when. When you have problems, you know, you don't want people jumping ship before you even get started. So you have to be in a position, you know, where you're firm enough financially that, you know, the small mistakes that you make while you're learning aren't the end of the road for you. Or otherwise, there's not much point in it, because biodynamics is, you know, more than anything else, is a different way of looking at things. And it takes time for people to develop that way of looking at it. And secondly, to get some experience so that they have some security that, you know, the bottom's not going to drop out on you. You know, in the beginning, with all new things, people imagine the worst. And rarely is, you know, does the worst happen, but people imagine it. And the people that have the responsibility for managing the vineyards have very practical concerns. You know, how are you going to manage disease and pests and fertility, and how will you, you know, maintain a reasonable level of yields while at the same time increasing your quality. So, you know, on a practical level, those are all really big questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the time people don't have the experience to know how to manage that. And so, you know, until I would say in most cases, about 3 years into it, after you realize, that there isn't a grass hiding in, a snake hiding in the grass, and it's going to jump out and bite you, and you'll survive,
I think that, it's a biodynamics is a big it's a big topic among wine geeks, and I whenever I bring it up, it's a very hot button, almost powder keg among those guys. Whenever I bring it up on onewinedude.com, we get a lot of comments, a back and forth discussion. We get folks with questions about it. We get winemakers who, pro and con, et cetera. In terms of how would you define it for the layperson? I mean, because when you think about the books that explain it, they're typically not easy for people to read. I've had a few where I
No,
thought they didn't make
it's not
sense. And
user friendly at all.
yeah, and you try to explain the tenets like the Calhoun's cycle of energies, people just look at you probably funny, right? I mean, so how do you describe it for the layperson?
Well, I find that it's most accessible to people who know something about wine. I mean, people that are interested in fine wine. The vehicle is, I think, really just one word, and that's that, you're attempting to make wines that are authentic. And so it follows the model of fine wine in the sense that, it's a piece of property in a particular climate with the variety that is best suited that expresses vintages. So, instead of being a stagnant concept of wine in a bottle, it's really the idea that wine comes from a place and that was produced in a year. And so people that are into fine wine, they understand that, Those of us that have been practicing biodynamics for a really long time, we continue to struggle with what is a cow horn and blah blah blah. I mean, it's only normal that people, find those ideas strange in the context of how they've been educated and what we've been taught are, relative and important concepts of how the world works. Biodynamics is outside of the normal rigors of conventional science. So it's, who, I'll tell you what would be strange, man, if somebody didn't think it was strange. That would be really strange.
Do you find that people sort of do
You know
they?
what?
Oh,
You know
sorry, go
what for me, Joe, is nowhere near as complicated as everybody makes it out to be in one sense. And that is that as a wine grower, you have a choice about how you are going to proceed, right? How are you going to manage your property? What are the contexts in which you manage it in? Meaning, is it again in the context of fine wine where, properties' reputations are developed through generations and through the consistency of the wines that they are able to produce and that, they deserve the accolades that they get? Or, is it really, as most of the wine business is, is it managed primarily through quarterly profits? And those are completely different objectives, and they're different contexts under which you operate. So, you don't find that biodynamics really has much to offer for what we would call commodity or everyday wines. Where it really, has something to offer, and as I said earlier, it's a choice by which you would go about it, is more in the context of what we would call natural wines, wines that are representative of a place on Earth and that have that capacity to bring that forward. So those are two different wine drinkers. And you know, a person that is interested in and you know, really drinks wine from the point of view of just its effect is more interested in commodity wines because of the price points versus, someone who's has a real interest in wine and who's willing to, you know, pay extra money for something that has a uniqueness and authenticity to it. So, you know, it's a choice when you first start out. And I think that's the important thing is that, you know, especially in biodynamics, you know, it's not by any stretch of the imagination, it's an evangelical movement where people are trying to convert people into a way of doing things and or a way of seeing things. It's a personal choice, you know, and for people who find it interesting and like a challenge and I would even say take an artistic approach, meaning that, you know, that they feel comfortable working on an intuitive level and that those intuitions inform the analytical approach so that you have a deeper understanding of what you're doing. You know, that kind of person is attracted to biodynamics because, it, you know, it meets their idealism of what fine wine is and the role that they play in it. A person, you know, who is more interested in wine purely as a business or an investment, those things aren't so intriguing to them because they also carry with them the element of risk. And so, you know, it's a different objective.
Do you think that in your talk of choice actually has made me think of something I was hoping to get a chance to ask you, which is, do you find the clients go whole hog? They sort of buy into biodynamics the whole way, or are they sort of picking and choosing elements of it that they think are most suitable to their properties, or, you know, is it somewhere in between?
No, I mean, not the people that I work with, because my clientele is committed to biodynamics philosophically, not only in the context of wine, but also in the context of how do you take care of a piece of earth that you're so privileged to be the guardian of for a certain period of time.
So they're all in.
They're in, yeah. And, you know, I decided a long time ago, Joe, that I was not going to work hilly-nilly, you know, just kind of, you know, popping in and giving some people a few suggestions, and because that doesn't work. You know, biodynamics is a discipline in which you have to impose upon yourself. Nobody else can impose that on you. And so if you use, you know, and for sure you see, I would say the great majority of people in that are have a interest in biodynamics look at it from the point of view of picking and choosing. Certain aspects of it appeal to them, other aspects, you know, may not appeal to them. But it, you know, it's a holistic way of managing, and as soon as you start pulling it apart, you know, it unravels on you and is not successful. So the people that are committed to it and the people that, you know, are committed in time to it, meaning that, you know, this is the way they're going to manage for the rest of their lives because they're convinced that it's, for them, the right way to do it, will never be successful picking and choosing, you know, because long term it won't hold together.
I'd be interested in your, I'd love to hear this, love to hear your answer to a question that I tend to get from time to time from readers, which is, so what's the difference in the wine, in the finished product, between, say, organically farmed vineyard and a biodynamically farmed vineyard? And I struggle with that. I said, I've had great wines from both, and I've had so-so wines from both. My personal opinion and my experience is that both tend to have a more of a vibrancy than conventionally farmed. I don't know if that's just my mind playing tricks on me, but they seem to have more lively acidity and some vibrancy. But I've got, I'm kind of stumped as to whether that's attributable to the biodynamics versus the organic. And there have been some people who sort of challenge that biodynamics doesn't give you anything over and above organic in terms of the finished wine. So how would you answer that?
Well, I mean, certainly it's a good question, and I know that people struggle with it. But I mean, for me, it would go back to what we were originally talking about. What's the intentionality of biodynamic wines? And you know, it's towards giving a piece of property its voice, so to say, or its ability to express itself in the purest way. So the main difference, I mean, I think there's, in the context of wine, I think there's two primary differences between organic and biodynamic. And you could just blur the edges, and they could be very similar to each other. But the intention with biodynamics is much clearer than the intention with organics, because the intention with biodynamic wines, as I keep saying, is the authentic expression of where they came from and the year that they were produced. So in the winemaking side of it, you know, the expression of the winemaker is secondary to the property.
Mm-hmm.
So all the aids that people have in winemaking, cultured yeast, acidulation, deacidulation, adding of enzymes, blah, 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 those are all like makeup, you know. I mean, you can have a woman who has a naturally beautiful face, and or you can have a woman who, you know, uses makeup to create, you know, something that looks more appealing. One is a natural beauty, the other is an enhanced beauty, right? And I would say that organic wines do not have the stated discipline that they would want to be natural beauties. They may be, but that's not the intention of organic agriculture. The intention of organic agriculture is to not use synthetic products. Whereas, you know, that's a given with biodynamics, but the intention is the purity of expression. So, see, an organic producer could have that intention, and then really the line becomes a little more blurred, but that is not a stated intention of organic agriculture. So you can, in organically, you know, in a label that says made with organically made grapes, I mean grown grapes, you know, you can use cultured yeast, you can acidulate, you can do all of the winemaking that is normally used. Whereas in biodynamics, you see that's rarely the case. There's another element to it that I think has something to do with where you are, whether you're in the new world or in the old world. Because again, in the old world, with fine wine, you know, the AOC concept is a statement of intention, right? And so you find in the old world that they tend to be more reverent towards allowing the wines to be themselves. Like, you can be a conventional grower and use all the chemical aids in the vineyard, but then when they get in the winery, you know, they're much more cautious. You know, there's a much greater use of indigenous yeast. There's a much greater statement of reverence in the natural acidity of the wines. Like, they don't really want to change the character of the wine that much. Whereas in the New World, what you see is an effort to emulate the old world. So there's more winemaking in the New World to try and emulate the old world. For example, why in the world would someone use Montrachet yeast in California? I mean, that's just, that's a blatant attempt at making a knockoff wine.
Anything that sticks, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to make a wine that comes from California like a wine in a completely different continent, climate, soils, people, culture, everything. That's, see, the stated intentionality of that is not clear, right? Or maybe it is clear. One is trying to imitate another one. So, you know, I mean, I blurred the lines between your original question of organic and biodynamic, but it's a much deeper question than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think I understand where you're going. I mean, in essence, you're sort of saying, your view is biodynamics gives you probably the best shot you're going to get at terroir, in a way, right?
That's if. And this is the big caveat. If you have a terroir that is worthy.
Oh, sure. I didn't say it was good. I just got your shot at
it. Because, you know, that's the truth of it right there. And I think that's where, you know, people get very confused, especially people in the wine business. I don't think wine drinkers are as knowledgeable in that area because, you know, it's not their profession, right? Mm-hmm. But the people that are in the business that are doing it every day, you know, they get confused about what they're trying to do. And, you know, like when you were at Benzinger, you could see our efforts, you know, with the wines you guys tasted and hopefully, you know, the differences between them was very clear.
Yeah.
You know, that's an effort to have the property revealed through the wines, and you can see, you know, like with Rodrigo and Mike, that's what those guys are reverent to, right? They weren't up there thumping their chests about what great winemakers they are. They, you know, their approach is really different. It's more like a shepherd, you know, where you're managing something, but you're not dominating it. So those are very different approaches, and I would, you know, like I started out saying, I think those are the two really dominant factors that are involved between organic and biodynamic. It's the stated intentionality of them. Now, that probably is not very helpful.
No, I think it is. I mean, it doesn't. I think what it doesn't necessarily speak to a difference in the finished product, potentially, but it might. I think is what you're saying. I think what you're saying is you can't boil it down to that kind of simple comparison necessarily. But yeah, in the minds of consumers, at the end of the day, I'm not sure biodynamics versus another way. It matters as much as "quote unquote" sustainable, I guess. And do you find that with your clients that they view a benefit, like a marketing benefit from it? Because that's been one of the criticisms I think laid against biodynamics is that, well, it's more marketing hype than anything else. But I'm not convinced that that consumers know enough about it to say, "Oh, biodynamic, I'm going to buy that." I mean, do you find that there's a benefit with your clients from like a marketing perspective or sales or?
That's a complex question. Or as they say in Chile, it's complicated. I think that there is confusion with some people on what they're selling. You know, are they selling biodynamics or are they selling wine? So that confusion spills over into the consumer in the sense of an educated consumer. I think people buy biodynamic wines because they like the way they taste. And again, I would take it back, you know, having the opportunity to have tasted, you know, wines, the exact same wines that came off of a piece of property that had cultured yeast and that didn't have cultured yeast, you wouldn't even know that they were this came from the same place. I mean, they're that different. So I, you know, to a large degree, I'd say biodynamic wines are an acquired taste because they tend to not be as fruit driven as New World wines are. And that has, I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's true, has more to do with the cultured yeast than it does with the vineyards, because certain yeasts really pronounce the fruitiness in wines versus the native yeast or indigenous yeast. You have much more earth tones in the wines, and they're not quite as what I would call pretty as wines that have been made. You know, there's more complexity on the earth side of it, you
Just
know, with
character, yeah.
mushrooms. Yeah, they're much more character. They're intriguing in the sense that, you know, they're multidimensional, that they really draw you in. But again, if you're not used to drinking old world wines, biodynamic wines from the New World are going to seem odd to you. You know, they don't have the same characteristics. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's a degree of education in a person's knowledge about fine wine.
I got one more question for you. I know you're in the midst of, I guess you're leaving tomorrow, right? Or something pretty soon.
Thursday,
Thursday, yeah. So we don't,
one more day.
yeah, wow. The final question is, we've got some folks who are pretty, in the US anyway, pretty vocal on both sides of the case for biodynamics. And on one of the biggest critics is Stu Smith in California, who's got a blog called that as the title's actually Biodynamics is a Hoax. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Only from what other people have told me, I don't waste my time looking at that stuff.
So what's your reaction to or you know how would you respond to the level of criticism that basically says biodynamics is not you know, shouldn't be that relevant because from a scientific standpoint, it's got no basis. It's like, how would you respond to that challenge?
Well, first of all, from a scientific basis, it has no standing, is erroneous. I mean, that's anyone that has a sincere interest in finding out the answer to that question and who will put the time into it, there's adequate scientific research that shows that certainly from the properties of the soil that determine health and that results in healthy growth from plants, there's ample evidence that that's the case. So that's not a valid argument. The I don't understand what the big problem is. I don't understand what put a burr under his saddle about, you know, why he's so rabid about biodynamics. I mean, it's a choice, you know. If he doesn't want to do it, man, I'd be the first person to advise him not to do it because it won't be successful. So, you know, it's his choice, you know. He doesn't have to do it. If someone else decides that they, you know, that it is an appropriate way for them, why should he care? No, I mean, we're not telling him how he should take care of his vineyard or farm. So what's his problem? I mean, that would be the question I would have. Nobody's trying to convert him. Why? I mean, it's, you know, it's almost reversed racism in the sense that he's all concerned about something that no one is even trying to convince him he should do. I mean, you know, if somebody was trying to convince me I should be an evangelical Christian, I would be really pissed off about it. And, you know, I would feel the same way if somebody was in my face trying to tell me that I needed to farm a certain way. I would feel that way, but that's not the case, so I don't understand what the problem is.
It's interesting you bring up the comparison with almost in your choice of words with religion, because I guess
I grew up in the South, so
yeah. So my wife did too.
An attempt was made to indoctrinate me, and I'm still pissed off about it. And that's the way. I mean, but that's the way I see people. You know, the people that are against biodynamics, man, they're really against it. It's not, you know, some little like, oh, who gives a shit? Let those crazy fuckers do what they want to do, right? No, it's rabid, man. It's like,
yeah,
we have to stop them.
It does take on almost a religious fervor, and I guess one of the
do
views.
Do you understand it?
Do I understand why
people are rabid about
that's,
it?
Yeah, good question. I think I understand. I don't understand it from a specific mechanics standpoint. Okay, I understand it from a standpoint of passion, right? People are, especially people who create wine like Stu, right? You know, they're passionate about what they're doing.
Right.
They have very strong views about what they think, you know, is and isn't good or right, and it takes on a religious fervor. So, you know,
yeah.
I understand the passion behind it.
Who has the website that's attacking him and what he's doing? Who gives a shit? He can do whatever he wants to do. I mean,
yeah, I think from the comparison of religion is apt because in some ways, and this is a view that I'm probably coming closer to, which is you won't necessarily understand something like biodynamics. You might not understand it.
Right.
You might not believe half of it or all of it or whatever.
Right.
But if it's good for some people, you know, good for some wine, doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't hurt the environment, then hey, you know, more power to the people using it. Yeah, and
I mean, as long as you're not doing harm to, you know, yourself or other people, then I don't understand why people, you know, get their tit in the ringer. I don't get it. I really don't.
Geeky wine people, right? It's probably the explanation.
Yeah. I mean, now I could understand it from a point of view if, you know, people were deliberately presenting falsehoods. Then I think, you know, that's a different story, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the case with global warming, so to say. I mean, that's seriously dangerous when people present an opposing view towards something, you know, that has a good basis and that is going to have a really long-term impact upon everybody on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But biodynamics is certainly not in that category.
So you would sort of say live and let live, I guess, is the
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's my approach. I mean, I think it's pretty evident from my choice of words and the way I look at it that I approach it 100% from that point of view. I don't want people telling me what to do, and I'm not going to be telling other people what to do. So I don't, they need to get over it.
Hey, well, Alan, thanks so much for talking with me and taking the time out. Even if you forgot, we were going to talk. You've given us quite a bit of your time, so I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, Joe, I hope it was worth your time. I'm not so sure that I was giving you what you wanted.
No, it's great. I think it's presenting. What I'm going to try and do is present a couple different views of biodynamics for the folks visiting the blog. And this is great because you're in the thick of it, and you're quite a you're working with some really well-known properties, producing some great wine. So you're kind of a visible face on one side of it. So it's interesting to get your viewpoint and to hear that you're not militant, about it. So I think it's nice to
Well, I spend all day long, every day of my life doing this. So if I'm not rabbit, why should anybody else be?
Good point. Well, thanks. Take care and enjoy the
Okay.
time abroad.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Cheers.